Proverbs chapter 6. Welcome everyone back to the Wisdom Roundtable. With me again at the table is Peyton Jones. All right, Jonesy, we're in Proverbs 6 and we've got a continuation of directives from father to son. And here, some pretty strong warnings regarding sexuality. Parental warning once again on this one. Listen first if your kids are young. That said, let's dive in.
In Proverbs 6, Solomon broadens out the topic from the trap of lust to the other traps that can snare young men if they're not careful. He's been talking about the adulterous woman who lays a snare to trap young men, seducing them into her lair. But in this chapter, he'll also tell us how our own words can snare us. Laziness is also a trap. And finally, falling in with bad company can smuggle you into some pretty bad territory. In verse 1, Solomon begins, "My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you've been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth." Becoming surety for a stranger means you intervene on behalf of a friend who's in debt, saying, "I'll vouch for him." It's like co-signing a loan. You become responsible if your friend can't pay. In the last chapter, it's the adulterous woman who lays the snare. But here, it's you. You snare yourself by your own words, maybe overpromising something that you can only underdeliver on, trapping yourself into somebody else's debt.
It's a trap. The Death Star is fully functional. Okay, my Admiral Akbar impression is not what it used to be. Back to Solomon. Verse 2 says, "You have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth." Solomon goes on, "Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber." In other words, deal with it immediately. Get out of it as fast as you can. This is deadly serious, which is why he uses life and death imagery, animals awaiting death. Look at verse 5. "Save yourself like a gazelle in the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler." He uses words like trapped, ensnared, free yourself. Now, we compared it to co-signing on a loan, but that in itself isn't bad. It's when you're putting up collateral that you can't afford to lose, and particularly for someone who can't afford to pay. Even if they're your neighbor, Solomon says, don't do it.
Right. You just don't know what's going to happen. They could lose their job. They could skip town. You just never know. And your kindness was what cost you everything. It's a hard lesson to learn, but sometimes you can be too kind. You have control over what you do, but very little over the actions of anyone else. That's why this can be so dangerous. You have absolutely zero control over the foolishness of others. So keep yourself out of harm's way here. Take control over yourself and be very careful before you put up security for your neighbor or give pledge for a stranger.
And the next warning comes in verse 6 about the snare of laziness. "Go to the ant, you sluggard."
Whoa, Chris, calm down. No need to call names.
Peyton, I'm just reading the verse here. Ahem. I'll continue. As Solomon was saying, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." I love the term sluggard. It means slug-like, or someone who moves like a slug. Compare the lackluster activity of a slug to the industry of an ant. The ant doesn't need someone hovering over it to make sure it gets its work done. Verse 6, it has no commander, no overseer, or ruler. Yet the ant is industrious. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So again, we're seeing wisdom personified, this time in an animal, which really kind of tells us that God hardwired wisdom into the fabric of the universe. You can go into God's creation and observe wisdom at work. Ants are phenomenal little creatures to just sit and watch working. I could sit and watch ants all day. I mean, I could spend the whole day doing nothing at all but watching ants.
Wouldn't that make you the sluggard?
Maybe. Or an engineer. Maybe a bioengineer.
That's true.
Now, the next snare is being a deceptive person. there are people who love shortcuts, which is another type of laziness, and Solomon warns us about it in verse 12. In particular, this shortcut is deceit and manipulation. Verse 12, a troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict.
Eventually, everyone sees right through this type of deceptive person. And after burning and manipulating their way through everyone, nobody trusts them. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. After burning all his bridges, he's run out of friends, family, and support systems. There is no remedy. There's nobody left to help him.
Everything in that passage describes a person who is the opposite of how God is. They hurt people, leaving a trail of broken bodies behind them, until finally, their own corpse is the final tally in the body count. And with that, Solomon leads us to a list of the things God hates. Look at verse 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
Pride, lying, scheming, and pitting people against one another. We hate it in the workplace. We hate it in the family. But God hates it whenever and wherever he sees it because of what it does to people, both those who do it and those whom it's done to.
Right. And we should hate what God hates. For us, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. And next, we move back into warning. And this one brings us back to something else God hates from chapter 5, infidelity. PG-13 on this one, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching, for these commands are a lamp. This teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way of life, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. I think we all know that moment when temptation seizes us, when our thoughts become cloudy, our reason falters, and we grope around in the darkness for the way out. Here, in that moment, the voice of wisdom, spoken here by Mom and Dad, comes back to us, repeating the commands of God like a lamp in the darkness. Notice he says, keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue of the wayward wife. In the moment of temptation, Dad's wisdom opens up an exit door in a dark theater, showing us the way out.
Solomon tells them, when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you, guiding us, protecting us, speaking to us. This is what these commands will do if we hold on to them tight. The Word of God serves as a moment-by-moment kind of instruction as we find ourselves in situations we don't want to be in.
If we can learn to walk in wisdom in the moment of temptation, when the chips are down, that's when it counts. That's why Solomon tells us, don't play. Verse 26 reminds us that sexual temptation comes with a low price tag. You can download porn for free, but the real cost is your very life. Don't mess around with temptation. It's too hot to handle. Treat it like a hot coal and don't touch. Solomon asks us all a searching question in verse 27. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? Solomon couldn't. I know I can't. And I can speak for Peyton and say he can't either. The fact is, nobody can. It's absurd. And we know that now. But will we know it then, in the moment of truth? That's when it's important. In the moment of temptation, you cling to these words of wisdom, these instructions of God, given by a father and mother who love you, and find them leading you out of the darkness. And speaking of leading out, we're out of time. So I'll show us the way out. Proverbs chapter 6. Take a read for yourself, and we'll meet you back here in chapter 7.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.